Blog Talk Radio.
Conviction to Zero Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
I can't hear you. I'm not in. Oh, I can't. Okay, I can't hear you, though. Give me a second. Keep talking so I get in.
It's October 16th, 2021. Thank you for joining us for Blog Talk Radio. We are here with our host, Stephen Bobo. I am the producer, Danielle Andrews. We are waiting on our guest, Mr. Gary Hall, to join us. Mr. Bobo, you ready to take it off, take it from here?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, what's up? What's up, everybody? Brozilla here. What's going down? Stephen Bobo once again. It's been a long time since we've been on the show. Hopefully Mr. Hall will come in. I got his number. He already called me and said he's going to be here, so we're going to wait for him to come in. I'm not talking about the story, but I want everybody to know, just listen up to what he has to say, because this is what's going on in the systems today. It's almost identical to mine to a point, but this is what we have to deal with of being African-American men. Really and truthfully, it's the one percenters against everybody. So you know what I'm saying? We're not the one percenters. You know who the one percenters are. I'm not going to even go into that. There is so many people inside them walls, women and men, and juveniles, and juvenile detention centers, and people who have mental illnesses. And we'll talk about that at a later date. But this is something that we need to talk about, because this gentleman right here has a situation that he needs someone to help. Anybody who has law as a lawyer, new lawyers who can help him, because he has a case that needs to be told. I need everybody to sit back and listen once he comes in so you guys can hear him, because he has a story that needs to be told to every place. I'm pretty sure there's other people in the system who has cases like this, almost like this, where they are being done wrong. And when I say this, I mean done wrong. It is something that we need to understand, that the system is not for us. And I've told everybody this time and time again, before I even started Blog Talk Radio, I've told everybody, this is not a system that's meant for us. I'm sure people who do wrong, yes, we do need to be punished. Yes, it is. But if you don't, if you do something wrong, but at least do the time that's supposed to be for you. Even if you didn't do it, if you didn't do it. You know, so many people say they haven't done anything, they're not guilty in penitentiary, and I get that. There is a lot of people who's inside the penitentiary who's not guilty. And this is a sign that we need to stop, because it's overcrowding. It's prison. It's prison. It's something that we need to get a whole hold onto, because it's overcrowding in prisons because of overcrowding. There's too many people inside these walls. Women, men, and women inside these walls who should not be there, who've done their time. It's time to let them go. If you put somebody in prison for a case, and I'm not going to talk about cases because I'm not a lawyer. I'm not there. I wasn't there to see what you've done, and I can't judge you because, Lord, I did my time. I did my time. Lord knows, I thank God I had an attorney who got my second attorney who got me out on judicial release. But my thing is this, guys, be honest to yourself. And I want you to sit back and think about it. If it was your loved one, your son, your uncle, your father, you, your child, if they didn't do it, why should they constantly have to be held responsible for somebody else's crime?
Well,
I want you to
I
think about that.
About,
it takes a lot. Say one more time.
So I have a question about that. Do you think that the reason why so many poor and minorities get sentenced to exorbitant amounts of time is so that they are basically warehoused and they can basically out of sight, out of mind type of things, where it's like they are being punished for more than what they've actually done? That by that meaning they are being punished for being poor. They are punished for being a minority. They are punished for having the audacity to try and have a productive life outside of whatever paltry crumbs they are thrown.
I agree with you 100%. And we all know that's to be true. And you just hit it right on, you just hit the nail on the head. We all know that this system, standing criminal justice, you know, I've always been in security and corrections and law enforcement, all this type of stuff. I've been in that. But once you're on the outside, you're inside them walls, and you see what the system's really, really meant to be, it's meant for you to fail. Because exactly what you said, if you do not have the money or the power to be the case, and if you didn't do the case, but you didn't do the case, but you have the system already working against you, especially if it's a high profile case, and you don't have an attorney. But if you have an attorney, the public pretender, and I say that loosely, a public pretender, who's working the court office of the public pretender's office right in front of the prosecutor's office, so he can just walk right into the prosecutor's office and get any type of information he needs. But if you have a public pretender and you're going against one of the top prosecutors in the country, in that state, you're already behind the eight ball, because the public pretender is not going to be for you in the first place. They work together. You have to find an attorney outside the system, because you can't – that's like asking a fireman to ask an arsonist to help you put out a fire. It's not going to work. So if you have somebody who's in the system, you have somebody who's working in the system as far as a public pretender, and he's got millions of cases, hundreds of cases, and you just wanted the cases on his load, and he's not going to give you 100% because you're not paying him. He's getting paid by the state. And who's prosecuting you? The state. So guess what? That's conflict of interest. How's the state going to prosecute you but also pay an attorney to take care of you? How's that going to work? Think about it. You can't go on both sides of the fence. You can't be a public – you have a public pretender who works for the prosecutor, and the prosecutor is the one who's trying to send you to prison. So did you honestly believe he's going to give you his all, especially if the prosecutor is going up for election? That's not going to work that way. I need everybody to understand that. Sit back and think about it, because it's right there in front of you. If you don't want to do it, keep on talking, Danny. He just called me on my personal phone, so just keep on. Keep on going.
All right. It just seems to me that today's prisons have become more of a warehouse to basically just get people out of the hair of society. These may not be the most educated or the most privileged people, but it doesn't warrant them to be punished more than what the law allows. And the law allows a certain amount of time. So why convict them twice of something lesser that's basically a lateral move, but it's just under a different name? To me, it's still double jeopardy. You want to get somebody for, you know, 7 counts of murder on 3 people. No. You know, you want to have a charge for this and a charge for that and a charge for this and a charge for that and a charge for this. And by the time you get done, it could be something that would normally only hold about 3 years in jail, 1.5, and you're out. You know, and it ends up, by the time they get done adding charges to a person, 15 years. 3677. I think that part of the reason our people get into more trouble is they trust these public pretenders who basically are going to get their check one way or the other, whether or not you see justice or not. And that is truly a miscarriage of justice. And as guilty or not, you are guilty of a certain crime, and you are to do that time. You are not to do that time plus that time because you pissed off the public, you pissed off the prosecutor. Mm-hmm. Or the judge doesn't like your looks. That is by no means any excuse to give a person 5 more years. If you're sentenced to 3 years, then you should do no more than that 3 years.
That is so true. That's so true. But you know what? They don't see it that way because, like I said, it's modern-day slavery. There's so many people
exactly.
that are in that system.
Somebody's got to make those somebody's got to wash those sheets, huh?
Exactly. He should be calling in after this game the number, so let's see what happens.
Okay. There he is.
Got him. Bring him in.
Hey, you two.
Hey.
Hey. What's up,
all right,
up, man?
I'm going to go mute now, Mr. B. Thank you for coming, Mr. Hall.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Hall.
Hold on. Check this out, you two. Listen to me. This is really important. Mr. Hall. First of all, honestly speaking here, my name, my birth given name is Victor Logan. It's not Mr. Hall or Gary. My nephew did it making his profile a while ago, and I just went with it. But either way, this is Victor Logan speaking to you. Okay.
Let's go. All right. All right. Go ahead and just let us know. Tell us your story, because since we got late starts, it's only going to be about 15 minutes. So go ahead and get on. We'll do another show another time. We'll be another time this week. Go ahead and tell your story.
Okay, check this out. Okay. In 2008, July 14th, 1:30 exactly, I was arrested for 2 counts of sex crimes against a teenager. And I was arrested, and I didn't hit the streets until 2021, December last year. Now, I pled not guilty. I went through a preliminary hearing. They tacked on 2 more charges from another individual and consolidated them together, and I went to trial, pled not guilty. They found me guilty. A jury did. The prosecutor said it was all hearsay. He said, she said, you believe them or not. That was that. While I was incarcerated, during the time of my appeal, when my first appeal had started, I learned from the best in the Kansas Department of Corrections on how to retrieve what you guys are about to find out I got. I didn't expect none of this, but it happened. The first thing I got was it's called an initiation of action. A lawyer asked me one day, how did I even get it? Because I'm not supposed to have it. I'm about to tell you about a bunch of stuff I wasn't supposed to have. But I got them, several of them. I have an initiation of action, which is the same thing as an indictment. And it says specifically a charge that no one ever accused me of. And it has a printed date that a computer printed this, so I know exactly when it was made, Friday, July 11th, 2008. And it has a crime that says, a specific crime that no one ever accused me of, and a magistrate judge's signature saying that he read the affidavit and found probable cause to issue a warrant for my arrest for the charge, okay? Only in the state of Kansas, well, in any state, initial for a warrant for your arrest can be issued unless probable cause is found from an affidavit, notarized and all of that stuff. Well, come to find out, I actually have the affidavit. It came to. The affidavit is not at all that charge. The affidavit itself was made the day after. So first and foremost, I have a magistrate judge's signature signing an indictment against me saying that he read something that don't exist yet for a charge that for a crime that no one never accused me of. Put that to the side. The actual complaint that has the charges on it and the affidavit itself, they are both signed, dated by the district attorney's office and someone that I don't know named Randy Chavez, who made the affidavit, and two notaries in the Johnson County, Kansas District Courthouse signed and notarized these things, saying that Randy Chavez signed this affidavit, and this particular district attorney at the time, because he's not with them anymore, so I ain't going to put his name out there yet, but I will. Just sit tight. These dates and these signatures are Saturday, July 14th, 2008, on the complaint and the affidavit. So now we have a magistrate judge saying that he's seen all of these papers that don't exist yet. Now, the signatures and the stamps and the notary stamps and times of by the district attorney's office and these other two notaries and this guy is a Saturday. Johnson County District Courthouse was not open on Saturday, so you four people are lying. I'll get back to you in a second to try to figure this out. Speed up, and we'll go forward. Now, I got these papers February, March of 2011. In 2013, late 13, early 14, I am behind maximum security walls, and I run into this lady asking her something, and she ends up saying, "Are you Victor Logan?" I'm like, "Yeah." She said, "These are for you." She gives me 20 manila envelopes, and I take them back to my cell, and I look at them later when I get off work, because I was a law library clerk and a GED tutor in maximum security. So I get off work, and I come back, and I look at the papers, and I figure out what they are. I have every single court document ever made about the case against me. OACR 1685, that's what it is if you want to look it up, check for yourself. I have every court paper that they ever made. Now, some of these court papers that I have, I should not have them. For instance, a few of them, they're called witness affidavits. A witness affidavit is when, let's say, when the state has you as a witness, and your name's got to be on the witness list too. The state has you as a witness, and you come down and testify for the state, and they give you money for mileage and stuff like that, right? Okay. Both of these individuals that made these allegations against me were both 15 years old at the time. The state of Kansas requires by law that a written parental consent form must be signed for the two to testify. What the Johnson County, Kansas District Attorney's Office did was allowed one of the girls to sign her mama's name to testify, to make it look like her mama signed it, but she signed it. And I'll bet my life on it because I have proof that she did it, and I'm asking this girl's mom to come forth and tell the world or just show the world your signature. I'll bet my life on it, it is not the same signature. Or we can just look at your driver's license back then and see that that signature ain't the same as this one your daughter signed. Either way, the Johnson County District Attorney's Office allowed this to happen. And at the time, my wife was standing right there, and she went and got the girl, so she's involved as well. Either way, this is beyond illegal. They didn't think I would find this out because the way that I acquired these papers was not conventional how most people fight appeals. Well, as you can see, or as they found out, this fellow y'all listening to right now is not at all like most people. They didn't know who they were dealing with because they listened to a lady that was bitter about a ugly breakup and divorce. That's really what this is. But it ended up turning into what you just heard now. I did 12 years and a half, and I'm still fighting this. I'm actually in the United States Supreme Court right now. Well, they gave me they sent me back a denial saying we're denying your issues, whatever. But here's the catch. The issues that they said they denied, I didn't even argue them. Everything that everyone just heard me say, and I have a slew of them, due process violations, prosecutorial misconduct, what do they call it, human rights violations. I could go infringement rights. I could go on and on. I have nothing but airtight, irrefutable proof to show that these people, the Johnson County District Attorney's Office, from A to Z, unlawfully, illegally, charged me, convicted me, and that conviction is still there. But I can prove it in front of anybody in less than 4 minutes how all of these people involved did this and how this all got started and ended up putting this conviction on my name. I'm not I'm not lying to anyone. It's right here in your face with anyone. I don't care who you are. You want to challenge me on it? Bring it. Anytime. I hope it's live. But that's the pretty much the whole kit and caboodle and the steak and potatoes of this situation. So now it's out there. It's there. It ain't nothing to it's never been nothing to hide with me. Whoever you are, want to challenge me on it, let's go. But I'm fighting for my life here, and they put something on my name, and it's an ugly thing that they put on my name. I know how they did it. It was illegal. They cheated. And that's what it is. And I'm asking for some type of someone that's got the guts to be like, hey, you know what? This was wrong. This is what they did. It wasn't like they shot him and killed him, like, you know, rest the souls of the people that were murdered by, you know, cops or whatever. But it's the same thing because I lost everything. My children lost their father. He was taken from them illegally, and they're still paying for it. And a lot of other people that love me, that it's gone, and I'll never get it back. But that's not the point. The point is the district attorney's office illegally did this, blatantly did this, didn't think that no one was going to find out because that wasn't supposed to happen. But there it is. And the United States Supreme Court in the 10th Circuit in Colorado, I put these 17 issues in front of them in my appeal, and they said no to this other stuff. They know that other stuff. I didn't even bring it to them. So I know that they're in cahoots with the lower court of appeals in Kansas because those are the issues I brought up with them. So in order for them to rule on that stuff, they had to have got it from them because I didn't present that to them. I presented everything that I just told y'all about, and that's how they do with their constituents. They rub elbows. They know I have heat. They know I have the smoking gun. I got the prints. I even know who did it and what time you did it, where you did it, and I have the rights to confront each one of these people. But, of course, hell no, they're not going to show up because they know I have this stuff. I can't make this stuff up. I didn't even know this stuff existed until it fell in my lap. Thank God. And there it is, Mr. Bobo. I appreciate you, time, and Raider Nation. But, you know, that's that.
Okay, Raider Nation, yes, sir. But you know what, man? Once again, like we just said before you came on, how can the prosecutor and the public pretenders, like, going to be right across the hall from each other, and they're working against each other? You can't do that. It's a conflict of interest. So you are setting
you
up.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Stop right there.
Yes, sir.
When you said working against each other, you said the wrong word. And I'm going to tell you, my trial lawyer, he used to be the sex crimes district attorney prosecutor in Johnson County. He actually trained the prosecutor that was on my case when he first started. And I asked him while in trial, I said, what do you think is the most important part of this right here that you taught him when you was training him? And he told me, verbatim, to not take shortcuts. He said that like y'all listening to me right now. Shortcuts? I almost said the N-word. What? He did nothing but take a shortcut, but it was illegal, very illegal. And he involved people that also did illegal stuff. Very. Yeah, and none of my public pretenders or the pro bono lawyers, they didn't look for this kind of stuff. Because, one, I didn't have the money to pay them, and they weren't looking for that kind of stuff because they have faith and confidence in the district attorney's office, the prosecutor's office, doing the what's supposed to be done correctly. They wouldn't be thinking that they would do something illegal like this. The thing is, there was another prosecutor that actually, she's in trouble right now for using another co-workers in the Johnson County District Court's courthouse his email address. So she clicked on his stuff, and it makes it look like that he read it and signed it, and she sent it. But come to find out, she did and he didn't. So he brought it back up, and they charged her with it's called fraud upon the court, and that's what this is. The Johnson County District Court has committed fraud upon the court against Victor Logan in black and white, and I can prove it like Donald Trump ain't the president no more. I can prove it like that.
That's what I'm talking about, man. See, this is what we're trying to tell people, man. I told you this story is deep. I need anybody who knows any type of lawyer, business aspect as far as a lawyer that can help this man, because he has
if
a case.
Any lawyer wants this case, trust me, it's going to spin your head, because you're going to think no one caught this. It's not that they didn't catch it, if they didn't care. And I did.
There it is. There it is. Exactly. And exactly. Danielle, are you on here too?
Right here, Mr. B.
What do you think?
I think Mr. Logan nailed it on the head. It's not that they don't know. It's not that they don't have the ability. It's a sheer case of apathy and laziness. They don't care. Why is just another black man? Why should we care about another black man? Because that black man is somebody's child. That black man is somebody's father. That's somebody's brother, cousin, friend. That's why we should care. And I think a lot of times these just become docket numbers, and we forget about the people that are behind those docket numbers. I also think that they forget about the people behind the people in the docket numbers.
Come on.
Just like Mr. Logan said, his children suffered because of the apathy of the justice system, which is an oxymoron. It's a system, all right, but there ain't no justice at all.
No, it's not. Never was.
Yeah, we're cogs in that wheel they call the system. And the system is broken, true enough, but we're still cogs in the wheel. They still get a paycheck. They still get a salary. They still get $600 each pro bono. That's how much they get. One of the pro bono lawyers told me. I'm like, well, how much they pay? They give them like $600, you know, for each one. So, but yeah, it's a cog in the wheel. It's a system, and it keeps going. And they didn't. Like I said, the way that I recovered these documents, it was actually an accident, because the initiation of action. What had happened when I got to prison, when I got to Supermax, when they were processing me in, and I had to go see somebody, a specific person, right? This person had this paper. They call it a face sheet, and this face sheet had a charge on it that said I did something that I had never seen before. It's an ugly ass crime, and I said, "Hey man, where you get this info from?" And he says, the Johnson County District Court. And I'm like, man, look, I showed him the charge. I'm like, this is what I went to jury trial for. He said, well, you're going to have to take that up with them. And that's another person that didn't take time out to be like, hey, something's wrong here, to check and investigate. I was just another person to him. And so
that's what it
people
is.
That are supposed to protect you or something, you're like, they'll hurry up and go tell on you. But when something is being done to you wrong, they ain't about to go hurry up and tell nobody. So
that's
at
right.
This point, I'm like, okay, I'm on my own. I don't know about this charge right here. What's going on? Well, when I got that initiation of action, and it has 21-3504 subsection A1, that is specifically doing the oochie coochie with a teenager, an underage teenager. What did it say that?
Right.
No one ever said I did no crap like that. But where did the information come from? It's on this indictment.
Sir?
And I'm like, wait a minute.
Sir?
Yes.
Okay. We're about to cut off here in about less than 1 minute. So we're going to do this next Saturday. Next Saturday. We're going to try to do this show again. We're going to do it again. Bring part 2 out. I want to thank
you. Okay, because there's more. I got a whole lot more. I got more.
All right, I want. All right, man. I thank everybody for tuning in. We
got
to get off
Saturday,
here.
Next Saturday,
I got you down. Next Saturday,
same
everybody
time.
Tune back in. Same
yes.
time, same back.
Same
yeah.
time, sir.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
If something happens to me, y'all know. Hey, y'all better watch out, man. Y'all, God bless you. Thanks for everything, Mr. Bobo. You be good, both of y'all. Stay out of trouble.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right.
Do the best I can.
All right, y'all. Bye, y'all.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.